I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kids are okay. The dog is going gray. The house needs work, but it's gonna be great someday. Yeah, the kids are okay. Life gets busy round here. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas cheer. No time for riding or changing gears. Life gets busy round here. There's no question, we've got ourselves a handful. So little time for but we're never given more than we can handle. We've got this big, another one on the way. We'll figure it out, we always do. A few more Legos to walk through. A few more beers left overdue. Figure it out, we always do. There's no question, we've got ourselves a handful. So little time for us. But we're never given more than we can handle. We've got this big, another one on the way. Sometimes I'm scared, we've got nothing squared away, and I'll never be ready. But everything we're holding out for looks so far away again, like my old jeans sleeping in on Sundays. But hold on tight. No, we're in for one hell of a ride. We'll take it one checkup at a time. So baby, just hold on tight. There's no question, we've got ourselves a handful. So little time for us. But we're never given more than we can handle. We've got this big, another one on the way. Hey, we've got this big, another one on the way. Hey, we've got this big, another one on the way.
Hello, Goodbye Blue.
Hi.
Hello, Gary.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
That's the first performance ever on the Charpie podcast.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is great. Thank you guys for coming in. It's Dan Rao and Charlotte
Kendrick.
Kendrick, mm-hmm. Both of Goodbye Blue. So thank you so much for coming on. I've wanted to have you guys on now for a few months. I've been fanboying your music ever since I first heard your latest album, Worth the Wait. The way it works is I manage our Americana Folk Albums chart. Mm-hmm. And each week we get a list of albums that have come out and we see them by category. And I saw that this album had come out and it was on the folk Americana side. And I listened to the first song, Another One on the Way, which you just did. Mm-hmm. Thought it was really nice. Listened to the second song, So Hard Anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, two in a row. Then I got to Worth the Wait, the title cut, and I was completely hooked. I've been a little obsessed with you guys ever since.
Oh,
hope that's okay.
That's okay.
Glad to hear that.
So yeah, thanks for coming on. It's an interesting story you guys have. You're a married couple. Mm-hmm. Got to ask about that. And just the business side of being an indie folk act in 2016 and what's tough about that, what's rewarding about that, and inherit it from an act who lives that every day.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Take me back to the beginning of how you guys – this was sort of a match-making musical match. Is that how you guys – so you guys met, right? It was through music education is how you guys became a couple.
So I after college, I joined the Peace Corps, and I was there for 2 years. And while I was overseas in Africa, I kind of worked out a couple things and decided that when I came back, I'd want to pursue music. And I sent an email to my high school music teacher and, asked him some questions about how to go about, making a living in New York. And he pointed me in Dan's direction. He said, you should call my friend Dan Rao. He's doing all sorts of things in the business, and I'm sure he could help you out. So Dan was my first music business phone call, and we went out to lunch, became good friends, and 13 years later, we have four albums together and three kids.
Was it? It was totally musical connection at first, love at first sight. What was the early buzz between you two?
It's definitely a personal connection at first, but we both just sort of took that in stride and became friends. And then I had a little project studio that I was making independent albums out of. And at one point, Charlotte, we were 6 months later. She was recording and some songs and unhappy with how they were turning out. And I said, Charlotte, why aren't you asking me to help you? I'm like this. I do this all the time. And She was. That was her way of asking me.
Yeah, I didn't want to bother him. I didn't want to bother him because he was in another band and they were releasing their album, and I knew he was super busy.
Yeah, that's right.
I just didn't want to burden him with.
So I said, "That's ridiculous. Let's make your album." And we started. We thought we were going to do five songs, and then it expanded. And so we started that in like January of 2003. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we finished it in June. By the time we finished it, we were together.
That quickly, during the process.
Yeah, basically like 3 weeks before we finished, we started dating, and then we got engaged a year later and married a year after that.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Were you both similar musically? Were you both doing this type of folk sound?
No.
Well, you tell them your...
I'd say we have different music... inspirations, or I don't know. Dan's got lots of different inspirations, but I was sort of the Indigo Girls, Joni Mitchell, Bonnie Raitt vein. Really wanted to follow in their footsteps, I guess. And I would say our musical skills they complement each other very well. Dan sings incredible harmony, and I have a real hard time with harmony, for example.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, Dan can't remember words.
That's true. Ever.
And words are very easy for me. Lyrics are very easy for me to remember. So stuff like that, kind of, we fit together.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I think in the industry, I never knew this word, but Charlotte's kind of a top liner. Like, she sings lead, is melody, she writes words, and I am more the producer, harmony,
right,
arranger.
All right, so you did your first album 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you said you've had four albums total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first three were in a pretty quick succession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2003 when it was a studio album. Then a year later, in 2004, we released a live album that we recorded here in New York at the Roger Smith Hotel, which is not like literally four blocks from here.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, we released another studio album. And during that time, it was sort of this progression of, you know, we made this first album, didn't know where it was going, and then we had some success, we were excited about it, and we decided to go on tour. And so right after we made that live album, we did a 100-day tour around the country. And then, so there was a four-year period where we were really sort of pushing. It was both of our primary, you know, occupation, and we were really driving hard for that four-year period, and then life happened, and Charlie got pregnant.
then you guys became the Frank Ocean of folk. Then
we had to
folk.
Be responsible.
Waiting between albums, Don Henley type waiting between albums. So that's what happened. So life happened, and that's really what this album, Worth the Wait, is all about, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Were you still musicians on the side? Did you have no time at all? How much was music a part of your family life?
Basically, if people asked us to play weddings or parties or festivals, we did them, but we weren't actively seeking gigs or booking tours. I mean, I guess we did a couple things after Alex was born, our daughter, and then...
And we didn't intend to stop.
No.
We just slowly happened, and so at first we were just kind of playing defense, and we would respond and go play, and then over time, that kind of, you know, if you're not actively pushing it, it sort of fades off. So
yeah, it's like life gets filled with so many priorities that if you don't actively prioritize what's really important to you that might not be viewed as necessary, that falls down the list every day. You know, until finally it's just hard to put it in.
Right. So it wasn't even so much that you were missing it. It just wasn't even anywhere on your radar, at least in terms of priorities at that point.
I think we didn't realize we were missing it because we were, I mean, once we had our first child, it was like, I mean, I went and started another career to pay for our life and our children. And Charlotte was 100%, you know, a stay-at-home mom. And that's just, it's all consuming. Mm-hmm. And we definitely were still musicians. I mean, we played and we'd mm-hmm. play some gigs and we'd play at home. But in terms of creative output, it was more like maintenance. We weren't writing songs. We weren't actively recording. We just didn't have the sort of creative energy.
Mm.
So what happened that all of a sudden, or was it all of a sudden, after 9 years, suddenly we have the album and all these lyrics chronicling?
Two years ago, we kind of had this like midlife crisis where we just... realized that for all intents and purposes things were good, but we were missing this huge thing in our life that brought us together in the first place. And originally I had kind of figured, well, if I just devote 100% to my children, to our children, you know, I can't go wrong. They'll know I love them and everything will be okay. And then it kind of became clear over time, like for me personally, that maybe for our family, only having that as an outlet is not healthy, and the kids could probably use a break from me, I could use a break from them, and we could use time together just spent doing stuff that we love.
I mean, we both independently needed the artistic outlet, but then it also, we're almost blessed with this amazing situation where that artistic outlet is actually our time together.
Right.
Like if Charlotte was going off to play with her band or I was going off to play, like that would be a different equation, but this is like such a win-win, right? Mm-hmm. We could create time to be artistic, and it's together, and then it's actually our like alone time to have our relationship, as opposed to where you have little kids, you're very much catering to their needs. And
So we had an information phone call with Pledge Music, and they were kind of running us through the process of how we would go about a pledge campaign, and by the end of the phone call they were like, okay, so you'll have an album by April. This is November of 2014. We'll release your album in April, and so we hung up, and I was like, oh my god, I've got to write like,
and I tend to be the one that overcommits us, so I was like, yeah, all right, let's go.
Yeah, so I was actually not really happy with the whole situation because I was just nervous and anxious that I hadn't written much in the last 8 years and didn't know if I could. So, but it turns out that I do really well with deadlines and like third parties telling me I need to deliver by a certain date. So, we ended up writing 8 songs or 9. I don't know.
Well, I think we had at that point there were 2 songs. Worth the Wait was actually written 3 months after our daughter was born. So that like we've had that song.
That was written much earlier.
Yeah,
it was much earlier. Much earlier. And it wasn't about leaving music, but that was kind of the nice, poetic element. But we had six years as well.
We've written too.
But that was I think 7 songs.
Yeah.
Or maybe there were 8 songs in the cut one. But.
So how was it getting back into writing? I've heard the Eagles said that when they reunited, they didn't know if they could still write together. They took 14 years off. You guys didn't take that long, but that's a long break.
A friend of mine said recommended this songwriting retreat in Maine, and we kind of discussed it. And at first we thought, our kids were, 5, 3, and 1 or 6, 4, and 2 or something. And it seemed out of the cards for that year. And then Dan came home one day and was like, you got to go. You got to go this summer. So so I cried. And then we tried to piece together the babysitting coverage. And it was 5 days or something like that. And Katie Curtis, she's a folk singer in the Boston area. She ran it. And I went not really knowing what to expect, just hoping that my creative energy was still there somewhere. And it was really fun. I got to write a bunch of tunes. I don't know if I kept many of them, but just the act of writing and realizing, oh, it's still there. You just need to make time for it.
Yeah, there's a big affirmation because it was just like she had the bandwidth to not have to focus on anything else.
Right.
So that was great. So I think that was the catalyst for writing more and feeling like this is actually possible.
And how do you write it? You write the lyrics, Charlotte, and you both write the music?
Charlotte's really the primary writer, and she is usually the songs are her creation, at least the beginning of them, sometimes most of them, and then she writes all the words, and then I come in with the music and then the arrangements the second part of the process. But I mean, you hear on the record. I mean, it's a female voice. It's her voice, that's the lyrical element to it.
A married couple working and writing together. How's that? That must be totally smooth. That must never be an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Dan's really tolerant and helps me out in a zillion ways when I feel overwhelmed by managing the day-to-day of the house and then getting out and feeling like a professional.
I think we're very different. I mean, we just have different skill sets. So, like, it's not so much tolerance as I believe in Charlotte, not just because I'm her husband, but that's obviously a part of it. I want her to be sort of self-realized, but I just believe that has an incredible talent, and I can help nurture that talent. And my perspective has always been, ever since we met, I mean, I used to sing lead and I'm more type A than she is. So, like, in a lot of my life, I'm the one leading things.
Yeah.
In this situation, what's always seemed to make sense is that she, like, is to support her and sort of work, create this basis for her voice. And then that element kind of, I think, has worked. And I also think it's kind of unique in music. A lot of times you see duo. We're not a duo where you may hear me sing a song, at some gig, or cover or something, but like she's the lead singer and I'm the harmony singer. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. She would let me, if I said I need to sing a lead song, she would absolutely defer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we both believe in the sound that we've created, and we have our separate roles, and that's not just true in our music, it's true, kind of in our life and the way we both think.
So some of the lyrics on the album, it's not all positive. In some ways, there's some areas, Charlotte, where you're talking about how really, I don't know if unfulfilling is the right word, but I guess life could have been more fulfilling, is what you write about. It's a really honest album. I feel like I'm like sitting in your kitchen listening as all the stuff is happening. And you feel like you get to know you both when you listen to this album and what a crazy family life it is. And as you've said, how there's that fine line with losing those parts of yourself that make you as you grow up and get more responsibilities and trying to get that back on this album. Was it tough writing any of these lyrics and being that honest?
Well, I guess I mean, life is tough, and there's a lot of negativity out in the world. So, you know, I don't want people to come away from this album being like, oof, gosh, you know, like, that sounds depressing. I want them to feel like, oh, I can relate to those issues, and I feel better knowing there are other people out there who have the same issues.
And it is positive in a lot of ways. Even when you're talking about some of the struggles, the line, we got this, babe. It always has that.
Yeah.
That ultimately positive outlook.
I just listened to this podcast, Krista Tippett on Being, and she had Elizabeth Gilbert on, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And one of the things she said was, you know, we put so much pressure on our passion to be exciting and you know, inspirational all the time, and really, like, so much of the best stuff in life is 90% drudgery and 10% inspiration. And I think that can be applied to raising families and marriage and art and work in general. And you know, there is a ton of laundry and cooking that nobody eats, and no sleep and all that stuff. But that, you know, at the end of the day, when there are these crazy beautiful moments, that makes it all the much better, you know, and more worth it. So I just didn't want to gloss over, you know, all that stuff, because it's important. I think, feel like you have to have it in order to really feel these, you know, amazing moments with your kids and your husband and your music or whatever it is that you're making or doing. So
life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, one of my favorite lyrics on the album is, it's in the song Where Did I Go, which I know you're going to perform in a little bit, where you're talking about just the mundane activities of a day, doing laundry, doing dishes, and the line directed towards you, Dan, when you come home, the line is, and when I try to tell you all about it, the words come out, and even I get bored. I love that lyric. It's just it's so honest. It's cool. I know people say that. So it's cool to hear it in a song.
You know, again, like this list of priorities. You know, sometimes I'm like, I just want everything to be, you know, I'm one of those people that can't really be productive unless my complete environment is perfect, which is a serious hazard when you live with three children. Dan can, like, ignore all mess whatsoever and just, like, crush his list and just be super productive, and I can't. And but what I find is that if I'm like, okay, well, I'll figure out a system for managing my life with my children and my family, and then I'll have all that organized so that I can focus on music. By the time I've done all that, there's no more time for music. It's time to pick up the kids, and you're off to, you know.
Or energy, too.
Yeah.
It's creative energy.
Right. So I'm still struggling with that, but I kind of feel like now I feel like I'm leaning towards just the seasons of whether it's a writing season, performing season, just, you know, painting the bedroom. I don't know, but I can't do everything every day.
Right.
And I don't think I function well trying to do that anyway. So maybe that means that, you know, the next 3 months the house will be a disaster. But that's totally fine if I can come out on the other side with something artistic that is worth listening to.
And do you think writing this album helped that therapy, I suppose, in a way, make you realize these things?
Yeah,
more, definitely. More directly? I always feel that writing is my way of making sense of my life, which sounds super self-involved. And I like, apologize for that. Yet at the same time, I feel like we're all trying to make sense of our lives. So this is just how I do it. Other people read books. Other people go for a run.
I would say that both of us have a, like, there's a different sense of, kind of, not to be cheesy, but like there's an inner peace that we have now versus 3 years ago, simply right. because we made that album. And there's no way that we could keep up the energy that required to plan, record, make, market the album. Like, we couldn't do that all the time, but that's okay, because we'll be able to do that again when the right time comes. And right now we have this thing that's out in the world that we can share, and, you know, hopefully it'll have, you know, make us some money as well, and we'll be successful from a commercial standpoint. But that's not why we did it, and I think we want to keep that relationship with the music. Is, you know, it's going to come when it's going to come, and it's important for us to keep it in our life, but it may not. It's going to ebb and flow, and that's just the reality.
Are your kids good with mom and dad doing more music now? Are you playing around the house more? Has it changed?
Yeah, they are now. Yeah. I feel like a few years ago, before this all started, for the second time around, we would play and our kids would kind of complain. Do you remember that?
Actually, I think they complained more when we started ramping it up, because the frequency became much more. I mean, we were practicing and rehearsing. And now they're pretty cool with it.
Yeah, now they've been to a few shows and think it's really funny.
Yeah, we've been bringing them. We've been trying to figure out how do we tour with the kids.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes we've brought them to the shows, or we bring them to the show and get a babysitter while we play. But they sometimes I think it bothers them, but a lot of times you can see if in the presence of others, they're proud that we're on stage and are singing along and talking, you know, telling people that that's their parents. So.
Yeah.
Do they get a full band performance for a lullaby every night? That's pretty cool. They don't realize how lucky they are if they get that.
I sing to them.
Yeah, Dan sings to them. I've got one lullaby I do, I See the Moon, but I don't know if that's what that's called. Is that called I See the Moon? Yeah.
So solo music. Your solo hit. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Charlotte, or both of you, I've read you're both fans of Laurie McKenna, folk singer. You guys weren't at the Americana convention in Nashville.
I was there briefly. We were both supposed to be there, and then I got sick, unfortunately, so I didn't actually see her play.
We missed each other. Yeah. I was there. So you weren't at the panel where Laurie spoke?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Tell us.
She was at. She sang "Humble and Kind," the big hit she wrote for Tim McGraw. And it was all about songwriting.
Mm.
She said she wrote that song at the dinner table one day. She just had some time. Mm-hmm. Out came that song, a huge hit. The interesting thing, Radney Foster, a writer, was on the panel with her, and he talked about furniture in songwriting, a term in songwriting, how you write maybe the basics of a song, but then as you go over it more, you add little details, like in Humble and Kind, talking about root beer and popsicle, these little images that stick in your head. And I feel like you guys and Charlotte, if you're writing lyrics, you do that a lot in your songwriting, because there's so many details about, I think you said before, making a dinner that no one eats for the kids, all these little images that are just little mini stories in every line. Is that something you think about in your writing, or it just comes out?
It's definitely something I think about. I mean, sometimes I'd say, you know, okay, so what are all the things I have a hard time with right now? Okay, it's dinner time, it's, you know, bath time or whatever, or homework. But other times I just find that the lyrics I'm drawn to give me pictures, you know? And I just want to, you know, show more than tell, like we learned in English class, you know? And there's sometimes when I'm just going about my day and you see something, you're like, oh, this belongs in a song. You know, it sticks itself out at you, so.
But I think there's definitely an effort to iterate and to edit in both lyrically and musically in our songs. I think it, like, there was a long time ago, Charlotte's brother is a writer, a very good writer, and we're both close to them, and he sort of talked about this concept of bumping on something in your writing. And I think what we're very sensitive to is something sounding trite or cheesy or not on or dishonest. And so I think there's a long it goes through, you know, many weeks of tweaking lyrics, and we also do it musically. I mean, I do it more like we want those songs to be polished creations that all sort of make sense together.
Right.
And Charlotte's very sensitive to not having something be without thought or coming across as just a placeholder, you know, and I think we both have developed that over the years.
You guys want to do another song from the album?
Sure. Where did I go?
I remember when I would call you, try to hide my butterflies. I held my breath and did my best to impress you, hung up and covered my eyes. Fast forward just a decade later, you're driving home and singing all the way. You hold your breath and ask me how my day was, never knowing what I might say. I don't know why I get so down sometimes. Your job has never been better. Sky's the limit, yeah, the coast seems clear. I sit and listen, give you my attention. Clear your dinner plate and rinse out your beer. Know that all this time is really important. Staying home has been a luxury. But I can't help but think I'm missing some action. Cooking up a dinner no one eats. Maybe that's why I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Got our home with the insurance we need. I dropped a soccer in an SUV. Love my babies in the backseat and watching them grow. Not to get defensive, but I used to read real life books. I even got my degree. If I had to do it over, wouldn't change a thing. I'm lucky I know. But where did I go? Oh, where did I go? My days are so damn busy. Though I couldn't tell you what I do. I get the kids and feed them, clean up breakfast. Drop them off, pick up and paint a room. Walk the dog, make dinner, take the trash out. Pay some bills and maybe sweep the floor. And when I try to tell you all about it, the words come out and even I get bored. Maybe that's why I got so lost. I got so lost. Got our home with the insurance we need. I drive to soccer in an SUV. Love my babies in the backseat and watching them grow. But I used to feel more interesting. I love to travel, camp, and sing. Still, if I had to do it over, I wouldn't change a single thing. But where did I go? Where did I go? Where did I go?
Great, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great harmonies. Dan, we even heard you solo.
Happens once in a while.
do people come up to you guys after shows and talk about the lyrics, especially in that song and some of the other songs, of how much they may relate? Because there's so many specifics in that specific song you just did.
Mm-hmm. Grown women cry often.
Yeah.
It's true.
We played on Friday, and a couple came up to us after, and they're like, that. There isn't an album that could possibly pertain more to our life right now than your album, which is nice to hear.
Is that still weird, even after maybe years of songwriting, to always realize that connection? Because these songs just pop into your head. You think they're yours, and then suddenly they're other people's.
It's great. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I don't.
It may be the most, it's a very rewarding part.
Yeah. I just think about when I'm around people that feel like they have it all together and everything's perfect and everything's great, I feel alienated.
Yeah.
And when I'm with someone who's just like, oh, I spent all day crying, and I'm like, oh, why? And suddenly I'm intrigued, right. And then I want to hear more, and then I'm like, oh, sometimes I'm sad about that too.
Right.
But it's all good, and I don't know, it just feels like...
Perfect is boring. No one wants it. It's probably an illusion anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
As I was thinking, before I forgot the other question, where does the name Goodbye Blue come from? I don't think I've read that anywhere.
We sort of tossed things around for a while, and we basically wanted a name that sort of sounded like our music. I think of our music as kind of Sunday morning music as opposed to Saturday night, and Goodbye Blue just felt like it was... like mellowly happy, and
it had a little bit of ambiguity about whether it's happy or sad. Yeah. You know, like Goodbye Blue Sky or
Goodbye to the Blues.
Yeah.
And I felt like it has this forward motion that felt like how we felt when we decided to make this record.
Right.
So.
Like hello to not the blues.
Right.
To the happiness.
Here comes a new phase, kind of. So.
All right. I wanted to ask you guys business wise. I think you're the first indie folk Americana act I've had here on the podcast. And I go to a lot of shows, and it's so evident that that's where the passion is for artists like yourselves. And then I think about the economic realities of that. So on the most basic level, what is it like being independent musicians in 2016, ultimately wanting to make a living doing that?
My day job is advising music companies, and that sort of that happens sort of post, you know, us getting married, and so I think a lot about it, and
right.
But that there's sort of that piece of it versus like what does it mean for us, and I think where we are in terms of the economics is, yes, we would like to be commercially successful, but I think that's actually important to us that it's commercially viable, at least in the long term, because there's a legitimacy to that. Not so much about your ego, but just like making it sustainable. Where when I was younger and when we were first doing it was all about like we're gonna basically operate at a loss until we make it.
Right.
And there's a danger in that psychology. And now we can't do that because of the realities of having kids and our life, but. Even more important, artistically, it's a really bad way to be thinking about something. Like, I'm just going to do this as long as I can, and then I'm going to stop. Like, so we've tried to rid that from our kind of view. So at this point, in the last couple of years, we've invested, you know, a meaningful amount of money to get back on our feet. But we think, like, next year, we're not going to be paying for our kids' college. Well, hopefully we will, but that's because that's down the road. But we're not going to be paying for our mortgage yet from our music income, but we'd like it to be where it is in the positive direction.
Mm.
But we want to do that with the right balance of doing it for the right reasons. And the reason we made this last record was for the music part of it.
Mm.
And when we set out to make it, it wasn't about can we get on the Billboard charts? Can we, you know, can we sell lots of albums? Can we, you know, tour the world? It was about let's just make a great album that we're really proud of. And we want to try to maintain that. So I don't know if that answered your question. That was kind of a...
Well, I think there's probably a tendency for anyone who growing up wants to be a musician, thinking, I'll become one of the biggest stars. And the percentages are obviously against anyone. So the reality for most artists is what you're saying. How can I still do the art I love? And if I have to support myself doing something else, how can it be a part of my life in a meaningful way?
I mean, the other element that's been playing into our calculation is I think there's also a danger artistically of just being too fixated on making it and being a rock star or being, you know, a celebrity. And what you responded to in our music, what a lot of people respond to, is that the reason it makes sense is because it's like a married couple singing about these stuff. And it's like, if we didn't have kids, or if I didn't have a day job, or if we didn't have financial stress, like, the songs wouldn't be the same. So let's not try to rid ourselves of all those sources of inspiration. I think someone said, you know, the way to be a great author is to live. I think that's true about songwriting and making music. Like, yes, we want to be commercially successful, but we also want to have other elements of our life that actually feed the songwriting, having children, having other lines of work, having other interests, having, you know, I think that's important to creating art, right?
Plus, you have complete control artistically. Mm. There's no major label telling you you have to do a dance remix of the song you just did, which probably wouldn't work.
Right.
Maybe it would. You'd find a way to do it. Well, thank you so much for coming. I'd love for you to sing us out with the title cut, Worth the Wait, one of my absolute favorite songs of the year.
Oh, thanks.
Favorite songs in a long time. And you said you wrote this a while back, right?
Yeah, it was right after. It was literally, I think it was July or June of 2008, after our daughter was born.
I was just so happy to have written a song after giving birth.
Yeah.
You know,
we actually recorded it like a year after that. We started making an album and recorded five basic tracks and then just got kind of lost. But, I mean, it was when we started thinking about making an album, we kind of knew that it just made so much sense to call it Worth the Wait and have this be the title track, because it was the first song that was literally written on the album. You know, it all sort of fell together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely that double meaning. But, this song has been around for a long time, although no one heard it.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. Worth the Wait is the song you're going to do. It's from the album. And overall, it's great to hear you're kind of heeding your own advice about taking things as they come, and whatever's going to be is going to be. That's a pretty good lesson.
Thanks, cool. Gary. Thanks for having us. This is really fun.
My time with you, new.
simple. We were made for your eyes and those dimples. As you peer out from my shoulder, you're another day bolder. My heart's come, oh, now it all seems so simple. We were made for your eyes.